That's okay. So I was thinking about this when he asked this, and I thought, well, first of all, the whole concept of fairness requires somebody to judge what's good or what's bad, right? And that whole judgment seems sort of out of line. Who's to say what's good, what's bad, what's better, what's not better than somebody else? So where did the word fairness come up in the first place? Or where did that whole line come up in the first place? What originally did it mean? Did it come back with, originally, was fairness something about getting back something from your actions? Or was it comparing yourself or an action or something else to somebody else? So I think that kind of like that word just doesn't even really fit in terms of viewing your life, because then you're going to walk around judging all your actions and judging to see what comes of them in terms of good or bad.
Okay.
To that point, I would characterize that as we can choose to be to act or be acted upon. And when we allow ourselves to be acted upon by that driver that cuts us off or something else, we're choosing to define what fair is. And that definition may or may not be accurate. Mm-hmm. To Larry's point, as our maturity increases, we understand more. But I think fairness comes in understanding that we have the ability to act for ourselves and not be acted upon. And in that, we now control our destiny as opposed to being controlled by the things around us.
Okay. And I think we have one more comment.
Oh, no, she was...
Did you have a comment?
I just think that the seemingly most unfair acts in life or circumstances in life are perhaps our greatest opportunities for growth and expansion, and therefore that makes them not unfair.
Yeah, right. Matter of fact, that's a... Yeah, Larry?
Well, I kind of agreed with the lady over here who was asking the question, what is fairness? And everything I heard everybody say was about people and actions of other people, right? But God created the world and everything that's in it. So I was watching a TV show the other night, and there's like a million wildebeest going across this plain in Africa, and they get to a river, and they have to cross it to live. And when they cross that river, there's hundreds of alligator crocodiles down here, and they're going to eat some of them. They're going to drag them down. They're going to kill them and drown them and eat them. And that's the world God made. There's lions there that will tear things apart, rip them apart to eat. I mean, it seems to me that, like, if you look at most of nature, it's fairly cruel. Fairness is just ever who's the strongest that can eat the other thing. And to a certain extent, that's true in humanity. But we're the only ones that started trying to figure out, you know, making rules about fairness. But I just wonder if fairness, the whole concept, is largely just an illusion of our belief system.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the sheep that gets eaten by the lion doesn't think life is very fair, right?
Can I make one more point?
Okay.
I've been thinking about the fairness stuff quite a lot in my life. And I, one of the things I really believe in is these maturity levels. Like if someone's working in the astral-emotional level compared to someone who's working in the mental level, they're going to have a different sense of what fairness is, and they're going to have a different sense of, you know, the person operating out of their belly is going to be more me-oriented, and you can expect them to create more problems. You can expect their life to look more like a soap opera, you know, and with all of the wringing of hands and problems.
And it's not fair.
And I've come to believe that it doesn't bother me quite as much now when I see people working their way through the level they're at. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we got two different levels of fairness here we've been talking about. There's a fairness that requires a judgment. In other words, if I say, when men are in the locker room, they may say something, call somebody an SOB next to him, and say, you don't know what you're talking about. But guys in the locker room can talk quite crudely at each other, and a lot of times they'll look on that as just friendly talk. Then they go home and they'll say the same thing to their wife. They'll sleep on the couch. So the wife was hurt. The friend in the locker room wasn't hurt at all. He was just having a fun ribbing with each other, you know. So a lot of hurt is interpretation. We are hurt quite often, and we think somebody's being unfair to us because of the way we interpret their actions. But then there's other certain things that are harmful that are pretty universally interpreted as being harmful. If someone murders somebody for their money, well, who in the world thinks that's a good thing to do? Nobody does. Nobody thinks that's a friendly thing to do. Nobody thinks that's a helpful thing to do. Or somebody creates physical harm for somebody, or crushes them emotionally, crushes their ego, with intent to hurt them. There's certain things that we pretty much universally classify as harm that does create karma. But on the other hand, if a person is harmed through just harmless actions, and he's harmed because he interprets it that way, then that's another matter. Like Jesus, he offended so many people, he said, "Blessed is he who is not offended by me." In other words, so many people were offended by him that finding somebody that wasn't offended was so unusual, he called them blessed, because there were just a handful of people that he didn't offend. Now, people who were offended by Jesus, when he taught such a peaceful message, was it their own fault? Right, it's pretty much their own fault that they were offended. They created their own harm, and Jesus, we're pretty sure, didn't have to undergo a lot of karma, or probably no karma, for offending people just for teaching the truth in a fairly harmless way. But when you teach the truth is very cutting, and people that are not in the truth don't like the truth revealed to them. Yeah, Dee.
That passage that you quoted from Scripture, where Jesus said, "Blessed are those that are not offended by me," I always thought of that as more embarrassed by me than a real offense that a person feels is committed against them. That to be told who he is, some people may be embarrassed by it.
Well, that may be to a certain degree, but he did literally offend people. For instance, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, you'd think that'd be a good thing. You'd think people would be happy about it. But boy, the religious authorities were extremely upset. They had a teaching among the Jews there that once a person was dead for 3 days, that he could not be revived. There was no way that anybody but God himself could revive anyone that was dead for more than 3 days. So when Jesus learned that Lazarus had died, he just wandered around and took his time and took over 3 days to get there. And he did it on purpose to demonstrate the power of God. So he wanders around for 3 days, and he gets there after like 3.5 days, and everybody comes to Jesus really criticizing him and says, "Man, why didn't you come sooner? If you could have come sooner, you could have probably saved Lazarus. But now Lazarus is just gone. That's all your fault, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Well, don't worry about it." And so Jesus raises him from the dead, and everybody was pretty amazed. I imagine Lazarus was the most amazed. And the Jews, they got back to the Jewish authorities, and they were highly offended. They said, "Well, if we got to do something about this guy, or the whole world's going to run after him. We've got to take care of this guy." And so that pretty much sealed his doom, according to the gospel story. So people can be offended over something very positive. These guys were so offended over Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, something that we look on and say, "Boy, that was a really fantastic thing to happen." But no, the Jewish leaders, they didn't think that. They thought, "Boy, this is going to destroy us." So they were highly offended over this, the greatest, one of the greatest miracles that is recorded. And they decided to do some about it and put him to death. And so, for doing a good deed, he had the death sentence was decided for him for doing a great, wonderful work.